This morning I see some a new faces.
今天早上我看了一些新的脸。
Welcome to our workshop.
很欢迎你来参加我们的。
We have been since last night we have been talking about the basics of New Testament ethics.
昨天晚上我们就讲到新约里面的基本的原则。
And we are dealing with particularly how to apply biblical data in Christian ethics.
我们特别讲到如何用圣经的原则用在基督徒的行为上。
This morning we will continue to talk about these basic issues.
今天我们要继续讲这一方面。
The basic methodology.
基本的方法。
Then, hoping either late this morning or starting this afternoon, we start to talk about specific issues.
希望今天早上或者下午我们要开始讲特别的题目。
Something like divorce and remarriage.
好像是离婚再婚。
Something like probably we talk about the role of women, particularly in the light of women's liberation movement. How biblical is it?
女人的地位，特别是女权的特别的活动。
And then, probably tonight, we'd like to deal with the issue of abortion and euthanasia.
或者今天晚上我们要讲到堕胎或者是安乐死。
Probably, I'm just tentative thinking, probably tomorrow afternoon, we'll deal with the premarital sex and all these kind of relationships, husband and wife, from the biblical point of view.
可能明天下午我想就讲到婚前的性关系和夫妻的关系。
Yesterday we started, last night we started talking about the application of biblical data in Christian ethics.
昨天晚上我们思想到如何用圣经上的原则来用在我们基督徒的生活
上。And we basically mentioned about there will be five basic guidelines when we come to deal with applying the biblical data in Christian ethics.
基本上有五条原则用在我们的生活上。
And the first I mentioned that.We need to apply biblical principle rather than precepts.
第一条我们讲到，首先我们要用圣经的原则，而不是要用圣经上的命令。
Because the principle in the Bible is never changing.
因为圣经上原则是永远不变的。
The principle is absolute.
原则是绝对的。
However, when this absolute and changing principle is applied to different situations,It may come up with different precepts.
这种不变的原则用在不同的情景之下，可能会有不同的命令。
And last night we saw the evidences from the Bible about that.
昨天晚上我们从圣经上看到有这样的证据。
Last night we also looked at when, namely, from time to time, this absolute or unchanging principle of the Bible may conflict in a particular case.
昨天晚上我们也讲到圣经上有一些不变的原则，有的时候有一些冲在不同的光景当中。
And I emphasize the fact that these principles are absolute regardless of what kind of situation it was.
我特别强调这些原则是永远是不变的，不管情况如何。
However, from time to time, we run into some kind of dilemma that we cannot fulfill both principles.
但是有的时候我们会遇到两难之间的情景，好像我们没有办法来成全两者。
At that time, what we have to do as a responsible Christian is to take the lesser of evils, the route of lesser of evils.
一个真正有责任的基督徒，我们就要知道怎么样选择那种比较小一点的害处的。
But I like again to emphasize, even though it is lesser of evils, but that is still evil.
虽然是小一点的不对，但是还是一个不对的事。
Therefore, we still need to avoid it at all as best as we can.
所以我们还是要尽量的要避免。
Therefore, there is not like the example I used last night. I probably like to emphasize that once again.
所以今天我要再强调的再讲这方面。
For those of you who are not here last night, and for those of you who are here, I try to clarify clearly.
昨天有的人不在，那昨天来的人，我今天也要再进一步的说明。
We particularly look at the two cases.
我们特别讲到两个情景。
The case of the Hebrew midwives
就讲一个就是讲到希伯来的一个接生婆。
Namely, the Pharaoh asked them to murder the Hebrew male baby.
那法老叫他杀掉所有的希伯来的男婴。
But this, the midwife disobeyed the commandment of Pharaoh.
那个接生婆就没有顺服法老的命令。
That is very evil.
这是不对的。
Later, of course, they told a lie to Pharaoh.
后来他说了一个谎话来骗法老。
But, however, they refused to obey Pharaoh's unjustified command.
但是他违背了法老，而且他就听了命令。
So over there, what we have seen is, these midwives, they chose when they are in a dilemma.They chosen the lesser of evil, namely they told a lie to Pharaoh so that they can avoid killing the male baby of the Hebrews.
所以在那样情形，那个接生婆她选择了说谎，这是一个坏处，但是比较起来，比要杀希伯来的男婴比较小。
However, this does not justify telling a lie.
但是这不就证明我们基督徒可以说谎。
All I'm saying is, under such kind of condition, to lie is evil.
我只是说，在这样的情形之下，说谎是不好的。
However, to murder these Hebrew babies is greater evil.
杀这些希伯来的男婴是害处更大。
Therefore, they just take a little evil, but itself does not justify, does not give us, Authorization
to say,
okay, therefore, let's go ahead and tell
a
lie anyway.
Therefore,
I'd like to emphasize this, and I hope I do not leave you with the wrong impression that, okay, that will give us really authorization for to tell a lie.
我并不是要在这里给你们一个说谎的权柄。
Something, with the case with this Rahab, the harlot in Jericho.
我也提到拿何的那个妓女的故事。
Now again over there, Rahab has to, because the officer of the Jericho come to look for those two spies of the Jew, she either can give up this spy, deliver this spy to be killed, or she has to tell a lie to avoid, in order to save the life.
当耶利哥的官长来寻找以色列的几个探子的时候，他可以告诉他这个探子在那里，让这两个探子杀掉，或者他就要说谎。
Of course, Rahab told a lie in order to save the life of those two spies.
但事实上，拿何他是说谎话，把这几个探子救了命。
Again, it does not give us license to tell a lie.
但是并不是就给我们今天说谎一个应许的权利。
To tell a lie is still evil.
说谎还是犯罪的。
However, to have those two spies killed, murders, is greater evil.
但是让那两个以色列的探子杀掉，那个坏处就更大。
Therefore, Rahab chose the lesser of the evils, but and that God blessed her.
那拿何就选择了两种坏处中比较小的一种，但神仍旧是祝福他。
Therefore, again, this is not license to lie, but realizing that lying is evil, but under certain circumstances, in a dilemma, when you cannot fulfill both principles, you choose the lesser of the evil.
那并不是说你们就可以说谎话，只是在两难中间的情形当中，你应该明白选择那种害处比较少的一种。
Okay, this morning we like to talk about another guideline of applying biblical data to Christian life.
今天我们要讲到怎么样用圣经上的一些资料在我们的生活上。
Let me explain what I mean by that.
那我解释是什么意思。
Some people sometimes have tendencies to think, well, since I cannot observe this principle 100%, since I cannot achieve 100%, therefore, let's just completely ignore it.
有的人他有的时候想，因为我没有办法100%的遵守这些原则，所以我就完全就不管了。
Since I violate it, therefore, let's go all the way through.
因为我已经犯了违背了这些原则，所以就干脆就不管。
But that is not what Bible teaches.
圣经上并不是这样教导我们的。
The biblical approach is, if you cannot observe, if you cannot apply the principle 100%, you ought to seek to apply it 99%.
圣经上告诉我们，若是你不能够完全的遵守这个原则，至少你也要追求要遵循到99%。
Then you just strive to apply that principle to the maximum possibility.
就是你要尽量的追求能够遵守的最高的限度。
Let me give you one example of this. This is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 7.
我们来看圣经上哥林多前书第
First Corinthians chapter 7.
哥林多前书第七章。
Okay, let's read from verse 10.
从十节开始。
We'll read verse 10 and 11.
十跟十一节。
First Corinthians chapter 7, 10 and 11.
(clears throat) 哥林多前书第七章十十一节。
To the married I give charge, not I, but the Lord, that the wife should not separate from her husband.
至于那已经嫁娶的，我吩咐他们，其实不是我吩咐，乃是主吩咐说，妻子不可离开丈夫。
Verse 11. But if she does, let her remain single, while else be reconciled to her husband, and that the husband should not divorce his wife.
若是离开了不可再嫁，或是人同丈夫和好，丈夫也不可离弃妻子。
Particularly, I'd like to call your attention to verse 11.
特别请大家注意十一节。
But if she does, let her remain single, while else be reconciled to her husband.
若是离开了不可再嫁，或是人同丈夫和好。
Now, this is what Paul is saying. This is absolute principle. This is from the law. Namely, the wife should not be separated from her husband.
这是保罗讲的，这是原则，这是神的吩咐，妻子不可以离开丈夫。
That is the ideal, that is the principle, that is what we ought to strive to.
这是一个理想的原则，我们大家都应该追求的。
Verse 11 says, however, if she does, if under certain circumstances, she is separated from her husband.
十一节，若是离开了，在这样的情形，她跟她的丈夫离开。
Paul does not say, well, since you have been already separated from your husband, let's just go all the way through. You just go ahead and remarry right away.
他并没有讲，你既然离开了你丈夫，干脆就去再嫁吧。
Paul is saying, if that happened, then let her remain single.
他说，若是离开了，就不可再嫁。
No, 就说离开了以后，暂时不要嫁，就说就不要马上再嫁。Remain single, okay.
We
talk about 再嫁 later. okay. Remain single. Why?
为什么不要马上再嫁呢?
Because by remaining single, you leave the possibility open that you may be reconciled to your husband.
你不马上再嫁的话，就能够有机会，很可能你跟你的丈夫再和好。
Therefore, do not destroy, in other words, do not burn the bridge behind you right away, but rather leave the possibility of reconciliation.
不要马上把那个后路拆掉，至少能够有一个可能跟你的丈夫再和好。
That is, if you cannot achieve 100% observing the principle,
若是你不能百分之百的遵守这个原则,
you ought to strive to that standard as closely as you can.
但是你也要尽量的追求能够达到最高的标准。
And then leave the, of course, leave as much as possible the possibility of going back to the 100% following the principle.
而且也尽量的能够追求能够回到原来百分之百的那个原则上。
Let's look at another passage, Mark chapter 10.
我们再看马可福音第十章。
Mark 10, verse 5, following.
马可福音第十章第五节。
Let's read from verse 2, probably. Here, back, better.
从第二节开始好了。
And the Pharisee came up, and in order to test him, asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?"
有法利赛人来问他说，人休妻可以不可以？
He answered them, "What did Moses command you?"
耶稣回答说，摩西吩咐你们的是什么？
They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to put her away."
他们说，摩西许人写了休书，便可以休妻。
But Jesus said to them, "For your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment."
耶稣说，摩西因为你们的心硬，所以写这条律给你。
But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female.
但从起初创造的时候，神造人是造男造女。
For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife.
因此人要离开父母与妻子联合。
And the two shall become one flesh.
二人成为一体。
So they are no longer two, but one flesh.
既然如此，夫妻不再是两个人，乃是一体。
What therefore God had joined together, let no man put asunder.
所以上帝配合的人不可分开。
Now over here, the passage makes it clear. Jesus said, God's idea is,Once you are married, you are married forever. There is no divorce.
这里主耶稣所讲的一个原则就是你结婚了就不能够再分开。
Marriage is supposed to be forever. For the whole life.
你的婚姻是为着你一生的。
However, in the particular situation at that time in Israel, because of the hardness of the heart, some people are not willing to obey100% this standard of God, the idea of God.
但是在那个以色列的那个时代，因为他们心硬，不能够遵守神的原则。
Therefore, Moses told them, "Well, if something happens, you need to divorce your wife. Then you better give her the certificate of divorce."
所以你们若是要休妻的话，你就要写休书给你的妻子。
The purpose is to protect the victim.
他的原因就是要保护那个受害者。
Then again, over there, we can see God does take this into consideration when a person cannot arrive at the standard, the ideal standard of God gave us. At least we have to strive to arrive that, approximate that as much as possible.
所以从这里我们看，神至少是为有一些人，他不能够完全达到完全的。标准至少他应该尽量的达到最高的标准。
Okay, number four.
第四。
We need to consider the Old Testament ethics versus New Testament ethics.
我们看旧约里面的一些道德和新约里面道德的不同。
Let me illustrate some point here. Just tell a story.
让我来举一个例子，说一个故事。
We have quite a few who are parents and also who are not married yet.
这里有一些做父母的，还有一些人还没有结婚。
Let's just talk about those who are not married yet, right? Everyone of us has gone through that stage, so we can understand what I'm going to say.
特别提到还没有结婚的每一个人。
Okay, when we are about two years of age, we like to play with our parents.
我们一两岁的时候，我们很喜欢跟爸妈玩。
And sometimes we cuddle with them, we play with them. Another time, suppose when you are about 1 year, 2 years old, you just slap your father, smile, and you say, "Well, great, you really know we are just having a loving relationship, right?"
我们就跟爸妈一起玩，有的时候一两岁打爸爸的脸，爸爸还笑啊，你好玩好玩，那么小。
Okay, you say, "Yeah, now look, when I was 2 years old, I slapped my daddy, and he smiled at me."Now I am graduate from college, in the graduate school.
因为我一两岁打爸爸，爸爸还笑，那我今天从研究院毕业了，我也这样子打爸爸。
Then what will happen to your parents?
那你爸爸妈会怎么样？
Now, the issue I'm talking is this. Some people, I heard some people argue like this. Say, now look, in the Old Testament time, Abraham was God's elect. God really loved Abraham.Yet Abraham has many wives.
哦，因为有人就这样讲，因为亚伯拉罕神拣选他，亚伯拉罕有很多的太太。
Therefore, I have several wives too.
所以我也可以有几个太太。
Now, okay, the person who argues like that completely ignores The New Testament ethics and Old Testament ethics, that's the difference.
这个人他这样讲话的人，他就是完全就忽略旧约和新约的一些原则是不同的。
In the entire Bible, what we see is, okay, let me say it, see if you can catch it. If not, I can write down. Not that God's revelation is progressive. What we call it progressive revelation.
这整个拜圣经你来看的话，神的启示是渐进的。
Now in this progress revelation, while in the earlier stage of the revelation, of course, God tolerated many things.
当然在渐进的过程里面，在起初神也告诉他们一些事。
神允许他们一些事情。God allowed, tolerated. Okay, 神允许一些事。Just like when our baby is still so young, we tolerate many things, right?
就像我们的孩子小的时候，我们也容许他做一些。
But when they grow up, we begin to have a greater expectation of them.
当他们渐渐长大的时候，我们对他的盼望就更多。
In the same way, in the Old Testament, sometimes God tolerated many things.
所以，同样的，在旧约的时候，神也对人容忍一些事。
But in the New Testament, because we have greater revelation from God, therefore God.That's not tolerate something that we need to keep in mind.
在新约里面，因为神给我们启示更多，所以对我们他就不能够容忍一些事。
That's one basic concept we need to keep in mind.
这是一个基本的一个概念，我们应该常常记得。
There is another issue, the relationship between Old Testament and New Testament.
有一件事情就讲到旧约和新约的关系。
Of course, there are many people talk about, okay, if we know that, many things mentioned in the Old Testament is irrelevant to us.
哦，有人说，既然是这样，那旧约里面所提到的一些原则跟我们今天就不能适用了。
But we need to keep in mind, I don't know whether I mentioned that to you or not in the instant marriage. But anyway, let me talk a little bit anyway. In the Old Covenant or Old Testament,
在旧约或者旧约的时候
This is new covenant.
这是新约
Now the covenant relationship Okay, the covenant relationship is Particularly we talk about I think I probably said that Suzerainty covenant Have you ever heard about that? No, okay Let me explain, I think I probably think more Okay, let's take time to explain that anywayIn order for us to understand the Old Covenant and New Covenant, we need to understand this concept of suzerainty covenant.
为要了解旧约和新约，首先我们要
宗主国跟附庸国的条约。
宗主国的条约。
Okay. Now there is a suzerain and a vassal. Suzerain is 宗主国。Vassal is 附庸国 Now, what happened was there, in their covenant is that somehow the suzerain, out of his own free will, chooses to help the vassal.
在宗主国的概念里面，就是那个宗主的，他有这个权柄来选择。
Right, 自由选择，宗主国自由选择，自己愿意来帮助一个附庸国。Okay.That is the greatest act on the part of suzerain.
这是他的主的自
恩典，宗主国的恩典。Okay, the suzerain doesn't have any obligation to help the vassal, but the suzerain, on his own free will, decides to help the vassal.
宗主他自己没有权利一定要帮助人，但是他自己愿意的来找一个富人国来帮助他。
Therefore, they enter into covenant relationship.
所以他们就发生一种约的关系。
And then the suzerain say, "Okay, I'm going to help you."
这个宗主就说，我现在要来帮助你。
And I put on some stipulation.
但是我也跟你约一些条件。
And the stipulation are not negotiated between suzerain and the vassal.Not negotiated by them, but it was determined, decided by suzerain.
他们在这个条约的里面，并不是在一个契约的里面，而完全是由这个宗主来决定。
Therefore, in their covenant, they have the grace, namely the grace extended by the sovereign to the buffer.
所以在他们的约里面，那个宗主就将恩典就赐白白的就赐给那个妇人国。
And then there's a stipulation let down by the sovereign for the buffer to obey.
所以那些宗主他就自己的另一个条件给他的富人国来遵守。
Let me illustrate. Suppose Uncle Sam, the United States is a large, strong nation.
我举例，好像美国是一个很大的国家。
And now some small country in Central America. I think that Reagan right now is talking about giving aid to what? Nicaragua? El Salvador. Okay. El Salvador is a weak nation.
El Salvador 是一个很软弱的国家，在中
美。Of course, Cuba and behind Cuba, Soviet Union tried to export this communism into that nation.
那苏俄他又向古巴要向他传说他的共产主义。
Therefore, United States, Uncle Sam come to El Salvador and say, "Well, now I see you are in under great danger. I try to help you out, so I'll give you a few military aid."
所以美国就像Salvador 说，你知道你是很软弱的，我给你一些军援。
For example, I'm going to give you F whatever, F5 or whatever, the most recent high technicalized fighter to you.
那我给你 F5 的最新的战斗机。
But I have stipulation. 我有条件。
有条件的。
You should not give the secret of F5 to Castro.
但是你不能够把 F5 这个战斗机的秘密向Castro 古巴的总统。
Therefore, in the old covenant, okay, in the old covenant, we have God's grace and God's stipulation.
所以在旧约的里面，我们有神的恩典和神的条件。
The stipulation in our testament many times is what usually we refer to as law.
在旧约的里面，那个条件就我们常常叫它叫律法。
But actually, in Hebrew, it's called Torah.
希伯来叫。
叫做 Torah. The meaning of Torah is instruction.
就是各样的
Instruction 就是指导的指示。
指示。
Okay, the law in our testament really is God instructing Israel how to live.
在旧约的里面，其实就是神教导以色列人怎么样过生活。
Now of course, God is gracious to Israel. Therefore, the instruction given by God really is good for Israel.
因为神要给恩典给以色列人，所以他给他的一些指导也是对以色列人有好处的。
Now in a certain way, today we have a new covenant with God.
今天我们与神有新约。
And therefore, in the new covenant, God also again extends grace to us.
在新约的里面，神也同样的给我们恩典。
Yet at the same time, God also has a stipulation.
同样的，在新约的里面，神也给我们新的条件。
Now, technically speaking, okay, technically speaking, we are not under all covenant. Technically speaking, 认真的说，
认真的说，我们并不是在
旧约底下。Okay, therefore, technically speaking, the stipulation of in the Old Testament has nothing to do with us.
实际上旧约里面的那些条件跟我们今天没有关系。
What has to do with us is the stipulation in the New Covenant.
所以今天跟我们有关系的就是在新约里面的那些条件。
However, this is very important concept. The God of Old Covenant and the God of New Covenant.
然而在旧约的神和新约的神是一样的同样的神
Since in the old covenant God gave instructions or God gave the stipulation for the purpose of or for the good of Israel
在旧约的时候神给以色列人一些带领指导是为了他们的好处
Again today in the new covenant the stipulation God given us is for the good of Christians
今天在新约的时候神给我们的一些生活条件也是为着我们的生活上的好处
Therefore, we would expect since we are not under old covenant, we are under new covenant therefore our responsibility and the responsibility of old covenant we have some discontinuity
所以我们今天虽然在新约的时代但是对旧约的 时代并不是完全跟他脱节。
不不，因为旧约，我们现在是在新约，我们是在旧约之下，所以啊，新约我们的责任在旧约时代责任当中有一个 discontinuity 的一个脱节，有一些脱节。However, since this is the same God who gives, the covenant to both Israel and Christians, therefore we expect some continuity.
因为是同一的神，他给约给旧约的以色列人，也给我们今天的新约的人，所以我们也相信他的这个条件是有一些连续性。
Okay, let me use an example, probably, in school, for example, I offer different courses, I teach different courses in a seminar.
我举一个例子，我在神学里面我教不同的课程。
For example, I teach a course, New Testament Criticism.
我教一个新约的
考证，我买了好多 copy, 这就是特别的一种课程啊。I also teach a course in New Testament Ethics.
我也这个学期也教新约的一些道德原理。
Now, the students who are taking